house near the palace. Granny lurked by the wall and noted the details. Plaster was dropping off the house walls, and even the knocker had fallen off the door. Granny Weatherwax did not believe in atmospheres. She did not believe in psychic auras. Being a witch, she'd always thought, depended more on what you didn't believe. But she was prepared to believe that there was something very unpleasant in that house. Not evil. The two not-exactly women weren't evil, in the same way that a dagger or a sheer cliff isn't evil. Being evil means being able to make choices. But the hand wielding a dagger or pushing a body over a cliff could be evil. And something like that was going on. She really wished that she didn't know who was behind it. People like Nanny Ogg turn up everywhere. It's as if there's some special morphic generator dedicated to the production of old women who like a laugh and aren't averse to the odd pint, especially of some drink normally sold in very small glasses. You find them all over the place, often in pairs. Always in front of you in any queue, for a start. They tend to attract one another. Possibly they broadcast inaudible signals indicating that here is someone who could be persuaded to go, ooh, at pictures of other people's grandchildren. Nanny Ogg had found a friend. Her name was Mrs. Pleasant. She was a cook, and she was the first black person Nanny had ever spoken to. Racism was not a problem on the Discworld, because, what with trolls and dwarfs and so on, speciesism was much more interesting. Black and white lived in perfect harmony and ganged up on green. She was also a cook, and of that very superior type who spends most of the time holding court in a chair in the centre of the kitchen, apparently taking very little heed of the activity going on around her. Occasionally she'd give an order, and they'd only need to be occasionally, because she'd seen to it over the years that people either did things her way or not at all. Once or twice, with some ceremony, she'd get up, taste something, and maybe add a pinch of salt. Such people are always ready to chat to any wandering peddlers, herbalists, or little old women with cats on their shoulders. Grebo rode on Nanny's shoulder as though he'd just eaten the parrot.
"You be a-comin' here for fat lunchtime, then?"
said Mrs. Pleasant.
"Helping a friend with a bit of business," said Nanny. "My, these biscuits are tasty." "I means I see by your eye,"
said Mrs. Pleasant, pushing the plate nearer to her,
"that you are of a magical persuasion."
"Then you sees a lot further than most people in these parts," said Nanny. "You know what'd improve these biscuits no end? It'd be something to dip 'em in. What you think?"
"How about something with bananas in it?"
"Bananas would be just the thing," said Nanny happily.
Mrs. Pleasant waved imperiously at one of the maids who set to work. Nanny sat on her chair, swinging her stumpy legs and looking around the kitchen with interest. A score of cooks were working with the single-mindedness of an artillery platoon laying down a barrage. Huge cakes were being constructed. In the fireplaces, whole carcasses of animals were being roasted. Turnspit dogs galloped in their treadmills. A huge man with a bald head and a scar right across his face was patiently inserting little sticks into sausages. Nanny hadn't had any breakfast. Grebo had had some breakfast, but this didn't make any difference. They were both undergoing a sort of exquisite culinary torture. They both turned as if hypnotized to watch two maids stagger under a tray of canapés.
"I can see you is a very observant woman, Mrs. Ogg," said Mrs. Pleasant.
"Just a slice," said Nanny, without thinking.
"I also determines," Mrs. Pleasant said after a while, "that you have a cat of no usual breed upon your shoulder there."
"You're right there.
I knows I'm right."
A brimming glass of yellow foam was slid in front of Nanny. She looked at it reflectively and tried to get back to the matter in hand.
"So," she said, "where would I go, d'ye think, to find out about how you do magic in—"
"Would you like something to eat?" said Mrs. Pleasant.
"What? Oh, my word!"
Mrs. Pleasant rolled her eyes.
"Not this stuff."
"I wouldn't eat this stuff," she said bitterly.
Nanny's face fell.
"But you cook it," she pointed out.
"Only 'cause I'm told to. The old Baron knew what good food was. This stuff, it's nothing but pork and beef and lamb and rubbish for them that never tasted anything better. The only things on four legs that's worth eating is alligator. I mean, real food."
Mrs. Pleasant looked around the kitchen.
"Sarah," she shouted.
One of the sub-cooks turned round.
"Yes'm?" "Me and this lady is just going out. Just you see to everything, okay?"
"Yes'm." Mrs. Pleasant stood up and nodded meaningfully at Nanny Ogg.
Walls have ears.